Hello, and welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto, attorney at law in the state of Michigan, where I've been practicing on for 26 years in the fields of consumer protection and lemon law. I often write about this stuff and have written a few books as well. Today we're going to talk about what to do when the insurance company totals your car. What to do when the insurance company totals your car. I've gotten a few questions about this recently, including a phone call, I think, last week. And had a long discussion with a gentleman about this, and I realized, you know, it's something we should probably talk about on this show. So I will tell you right now that I'm in Michigan, as I've mentioned previously, and Michigan has no-fault insurance. Other states have regular fault insurance, and I'm thinking that much of what I'm talking about today, though, won't matter so much about the no-fault, except for who the party is you're dealing with. And for those of you in normal states, you have insurance in your car. The people who you're involved in an accident with have insurance in their car, you hope. And if you have a problem, you go after their insurance company. Well, in Michigan, you get to insure yourself against other people. So you're in a car, a drunk driver runs a red light, T-bones you on purpose, and your insurance covers it for the most part. Don't get me wrong. There's places where the other person's insurance will come into play. But the first fight you wind up often with is your own insurance company. So we won't get into that today. We're talking about this. You are involved in a car accident and you've got insurance that covers your car, comprehensive collision, whatever it is that covers the whole shooting match, as we like to say, and your car is totaled. And what we're talking about basically is this. Your car's got damage to it that exceeds the value of the car itself. Your car is worth $20,000 and it's got $21,000 in damage. Or your car is worth $5,000 and it's going to cost $6,000 to fix. And you realize that it is not economical for the insurance company to fix the car when they could simply replace the car. So that's what they're basically looking at, the cost-benefit analysis. And that's what we're talking about when a vehicle is totaled. I will tell you right now, I have heard people make arguments both ways. I've had somebody call me up and say, Steve, my car, I believe it's totaled, but the insurance company thinks it can be fixed. And I've also had people tell me, Steve, I think my car can be fixed, but the insurance company wants to total it. Did I get those right? Either way, I've had it happen where people argue both sides of that. And that's one of the first problems you'll often encounter. And it all boils down to the same thing. And that is, what is the actual value of your car at the moment it got totaled? Now, a split second before it got totaled, okay? What was its pre-totaled value? And then, of course, what's it going to cost to fix? I've heard horror stories where somebody said, you know, I've got a very expensive car. I took it to one place and the, you know, estimates are off the chart. The insurance company says, take it someplace else. I took it someplace else. Again, the estimates are off the chart. And they kept sending this person to different places until they finally found one that said, yeah, we think we can fix it. And then the question is, do I have to let the insurance company try to fix my car when the first four places it looked at said it cannot be fixed economically, and the last place says they can? And I always say, well, the problem you've got here is that all of what we're talking about here goes back to your contract, your insurance contract. And insurance rises basically in the field of contract law. So when you bought your insurance policy, nobody ever reads the thing, but there's a big contract they give you, and you read all the coverages and you read all the things, and it has all the definitions, and it'll say what their responsibilities are and what your responsibilities are and what to do if you're in an accident, what they'll do for you when you're in an accident, and so on and so forth. That's all laid out in that contract. So I've had people call me and they ask me some questions about, you know, what should my insurance company be doing for me right now? And I often say, well, do you have a copy of your contract? They say, I don't know. I say, well, go find it, because chances are the question you're asking me is answered in there somewhere. Now, you might not like the answer, or the answer might not get you to the final answer, but it'll at least the contract will get you where you need to go. So you go look at your contract to see what it says. But it's going to say in there something to the effect of, if your vehicle is damaged in an accident that we cover, you know, some covered event, we will, at our option, either repair it, or if the vehicle cannot be repaired economically, we will then replace it. And then you start talking about what is the replacement value of a vehicle. So I've had people call me recently and they say, Steve, I bought a car, I'm driving it, I've got full coverage insurance on it, and somebody T-bones me and the vehicle is now totaled, and the insurance company is about to call me and tell me what their verdict is. What should I do at this moment in time? And this is what we're really talking about here. Because what they're going to do if they total your car is they're going to say, yes, your car is totaled. Here's what we're going to give you for it, and they're going to give you a check. The check's going to be a piece of paper with numbers written on it. And all that matters here is whether that number is correct. And how do you know that number is correct? So what you need to do at this point is do your own research. And I know a lot of people watch my podcasts and videos hoping I won't say, by the way, now you've got to go do homework, because they're hoping I can give them all the answers. But this is going to be so dependent on what type of car you've got and what its value is and where you live and so on. I can't possibly tell you that, but I can tell you how to figure this out. So what they're obligated to give you, generally speaking, is if they've totaled your vehicle and you've got coverage for that, is fair market value or replacement value for that car. So let's just pick a car at random. Let's just say it's a, dare I go there? A 2002 Daewoo Lanos, okay? Again, I know the car's got no value, but let's pretend it does, okay? So you've got this car and it's got coverage on it and the car gets totaled, okay? And you know the insurance company's gonna call you up and say, your car is totaled. Or you may have done some research on your own and discovered the car's got $17,000 in damage and you know that exceeds the car's value. Well, what you need to find out then is, what is the value of your car? What's the fair market value of your car? How much would it cost you to go out and replace your car in the market today? And this is one of those things that it's actually, I believe, inherently unfair, but there's really no other way to do this. And the example I'll give you is a client of mine, very good friend of mine, actually, a guy I've known for a long time, who owned a beautiful brand new convertible Mustang. He bought the car brand new, black, triple black, convertible Mustang. The first week he owned it, he stopped at a red light and somebody just plows into him and just destroys his brand new car. Car had less than 1,000 miles on it. And the insurance company called him up and said, here's what we're going to give you for your car. It's totaled. And the number was significantly less than he'd bought the car for. And he thought to himself, wait a second. If I buy the car on Monday, how dare you tell me that on Thursday it's worth this much less than what I paid for it on Monday? So I was a young attorney at the time. And I looked at the letter that my client had gotten. And so I said, well, let me call the guy and talk to him. So I called the adjuster and I said, you know, I'm curious to know, how do you rationalize this number? And this will show you how long ago this was. The guy goes, do you have a newspaper in front of you? And I said, I can get one. He goes, okay, grab Free Press or News, either the two big Detroit newspapers that they had back then. And I pulled one out and he goes, go to the classifieds. And he goes, and look for a brand new Mustang like your client's, except in the used section, because it's now a used Mustang. He goes, find yourself a low mileage used convertible Mustang from that same year. And I found one and he goes, look at the price. And sure enough, the price was right about what he'd offered my client. It was right below. And the guy goes, yeah, he goes, I can find two or three Mustangs identical to your client's. And their asking prices are right around what I've offered your client. So your client could simply take the check from me and go buy one of those Mustangs. Now, the only difference is that the Mustang he's buying isn't brand new like his was on Monday. And he doesn't know anything about the previous owners. And none of them had that low mileage. Many of them had a few thousand miles. None of them were in the hundreds, though. And the guy goes, I can only give you a couple extra bucks for the mileage difference. He goes, but I'm sure you see my point. Is that fair market value is determined by the market. And we go and look at it and say, yeah, you can buy this in an arm's length transaction with a stranger. That's what that thing is worth. So the key is you have to find out what your vehicle is actually worth. And many people overestimate the value of their own things, okay? And I can tell you right now that, for instance, these microphones behind me, if you looked at one of them and said, Steve, what's that thing worth? You know, I can give you a price for it. But you can go onto eBay, which is where I bought half of those, and find another one of each of those microphones and see what the price is and watch what it sells for. And that's probably a good gauge to what that thing is worth. That's a good marketplace, generally speaking, assuming that they're not scams and so on. So you can do your own research. And this is really easy nowadays because you can go on the internet to eBay or a bunch of other places that sell cars and look up make, model, year, mileage, and even zip code. Because that actually is going to play into this on some levels. Some vehicles have more value in different parts of the country than in others. And so you can actually find some comparable prices for vehicles similar to yours, depending on how rare your car is. If it's a 2002 Daewoo Lanos, good luck, you know, because there's so few of them out there. But anything that you own, you should be able to find a comparable one for sale on the internet. So what I would recommend you do is do your research and look into finding documentation, print out pages, for instance, showing what vehicles are, keeping in mind that someone advertising something for sale on the internet might take less for it. So just because someone's selling a car for 20 grand doesn't mean the car's worth 20 grand, okay? But if you can find sale prices where someone sold one for 20, then yeah, vehicle's worth $20,000. But do your research, line up all your paperwork, and do everything you can to document what your car was worth the moment you crashed it, because you can show what it costs to replace today, and that's what the documentation is. So when the insurance company then makes you their first offer, and by the way, I purposely phrased it using the word offer, because what they're doing quite often is a negotiation. And a lot of people in the insurance industry don't want me talking about this, but they are negotiating with you, okay? They're not going to call you up, make you their best offer right off the bat. Many adjusters actually get bonuses for lowballing people, and some companies actually encourage their adjusters to say, well, if somebody's entitled to a dollar, offer them 90 cents and see if they'll take it. Because if you take it, you just basically shot yourself in the foot, at least 10 cents worth. And that's money in their pocket. Keep in mind that the insurance company and you, although you're on the same side in some respects, are adversaries at this point, because they want to pay you as little as possible and you want them to pay you as much as possible. So it's your typical capitalism situation again. So when they call you up and make you an offer, don't immediately accept it. Say, I need to look at it, do some research, talk to some people, and find out if that offer is appropriate. So if you find out that they've offered you $15,000, but you can document your car is worth $20,000, you then call them back and say, well, you know, your offer is low. I think I'm entitled to $20,000, and here's why. And lay it out for them, because if you have the research to explain where your numbers came from, you can at least force them, presumably, to show you where their numbers came from. And so when I made the phone call on behalf of my client, the guy told me, he said, Steve, I can show you exactly where I got these numbers from. I got them out of today's newspaper. You know, and that's where they, I mean, I, you know, that was a vehicle that had enough of them in the marketplace to show what the number was. So that, you know, there was a population to base that calculation off of. So do your research, get your paperwork together. When they make you an offer, unless it's a dollar on the dollar, keep in mind that they're planning on negotiating. I know a lot of people who say, Steve, they've offered me 15 grand. I'm worried if I tell them I want 20, they're going to withdraw the offer. Well, you know they owe you some money, right? It's not like you're negotiating with somebody who has the right to tell you no. The worst that they can do, presumably, is come back and say, no, we think 15 is fair, take 15, you know? And now that's the other question that arises. Because in many states, like Michigan, if you sue an insurance company, you're forced to pay your own attorney fees. So if the insurance company offers you 18 and you think you're entitled to 20, okay? You could sit there and dig in your heels and argue with them until you're blue in the face, hoping they move off of 18. But of course, they're an insurance company. They know that you need the money to get another car. They're going to dig in their heels, but they don't need to go blue in the face because they're an insurance company with lots of money. They can just sit there and go, no, you know, if you want the 18, take it. Otherwise, see ya. And so then you have to ask yourself, do I take the 18 or do I do something else? Because in Michigan, the only other things you can do, there's two of them, and one of them is meaningless and one of them will cost you too much. One of them is you can file a complaint with the insurance commissioner in Lansing, who is a former insurance executive, who's not going to care. Is going to say, oh, a complaint against this insurance company for lowballing? Okay. Nothing will come of it. The other thing that they could possibly do is, you could possibly do if you're in this situation, is file a lawsuit and litigate the issue. But if they offered you money that shortchanged you $2,000, it's not going to be worth it for you to hire an attorney and sue them over $2,000. So the lawsuits I've been involved in with insurance companies were almost always where they outright denied a claim, where they actually said, you think you're entitled to $20,000? We're going to give you zero. Okay. And I've talked about some of these before on different topics, but generally speaking, those are rarer, but they happen. And a client's come to me and said, yeah, it's worth it for me to hire you to litigate this claim over $20,000 because the alternative is they're going to give me zero. But are you going to litigate over a couple thousand? Probably not. Litigate over $5,000? Maybe. And so it depends on how far apart you are. But the real question is, what are they offering you and where does it check in with actual fair market value? The fair market value is a thing you have to take a good hard look at and find out what that car could be replaced for at that moment in time. And, you know, there are some oddball situations. If you had an extremely rare car and it was insured properly and it gets destroyed, and the question is, you know, what can you replace it for? There might not be comparables for it. Okay. It depends on how rare the car is. So, but generally speaking, most cars are fungible. There's your word for the day, meaning that, you know, one make model your car and the other make model your car that are identical and the mileage is the same, those are generally speaking, they're going to have the same value, they're in the same condition. They're commodities in that respect. One other thing I've encountered more than once is I've discovered somebody who had full coverage insurance on a car that's only worth a couple $1,000s. And I ask and say, wait a second, you're carrying full coverage insurance in this car. It's only worth a couple $1,000s. They say, yeah, but if I get in an accident and it gets totaled, they'll replace it. I said, yeah, they're going to cut you a check for $2,000. How much is that insurance costing you every 6 months? You know, it might get to the point where you'd be smarter as taking the money, sticking it in a bank account and getting the de minimis coverage, you know, the bare minimum you can get. In Michigan, it's called PLPD. But, you know, there comes a time when the value of your car is dropped to the point where it doesn't make any sense at all to carry full coverage on it because you know it's going to be totaled with almost anything that happens to it. But generally speaking, what you do when the insurance company totals your car is you do your homework, find out what the car was really worth. And then when they make you an offer, understand that the offer is the first step in a negotiation. It's not a final offer. You can almost always talk them up, especially if they've lowballed you. Questions or comments, otherwise shoot them my way, lehtoslaw.com, lehtoslaw.com. I'm on Twitter, at Steve Lehto, steveleho. And this show's on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, Google Play, and YouTube. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye-bye.